All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? Welcome to Wheel Wednesday. We are back at it with you. But this is a new thing for us. We haven't been at the office together in almost 3 months.
Has it been three? I thought it was four.
That light is really bright. I'm struggling a little bit. it's pretty intense.
Now you understand what I have to deal with.
Welcome back.
At home.
Welcome back to the Wheel Wednesday podcast. It's good to see you. And I'm Scott from Coding. With me is our good old friend Nick.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you recognize him. You've seen a picture of him before.
I'm wearing my mask because we're too close.
Yeah. So Nick is taking one for the team. He's wearing a mask. And, you know, I saved my mask for going in public. So that's that. We're back. We're back at it. We're slowly transitioning into the office here. I've been here for the duration, but Nick is new. Welcome back.
This is my first day back in a while, and I'm already screwing up because I left my laptop charger at home. Mm. So now, my day is almost done.
That's accurate. So anyhow, we hope you all have been well. What is going on? Let's see. Before we get into this, if you wouldn't mind subscribing and, you know, do the like thing, subscribe, all
I'm
that
glad
good
you
stuff.
This time
anyhow,
that.
Yeah. So let's see. What's new in the world? There's been some new things that have been happening. Some events are turned back on and starting to happen. Grid Life happened this past weekend.
Right.
In addition to that, it looks like you know, Formula Drift will run some sort of schedule. They've announced a schedule. There's rumors that
they announced it a couple of weeks back already now. What they're planning to do.
Are they
still a go for July 4th?
I've heard some rumblings that there may be some changes there, but I'm sure that FD, as soon as they have everything ironed out, will release that. Will release any news or any changes,
right,
if any are existing, out to the public. I know that there's been a lot of event pushbacks. Some series are doing their best to not only push the events back, but try to still get the same number of events into the season. So, you know, and that's really going to be an interesting thing. And we'll try to bring you a better piece of content on this. But, you know, as race seasons are going to change, right, as race seasons go on, and they go from, let's say it was an 8-event schedule, and then you basically say, all right, but we usually start those events end of February or March.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you're saying, oh, we're not going to start those events till mid-July, but you're still going to have 8. The stress and the strain and the financial impact that could potentially have on drivers, teams, and stuff like that, it's going to be pretty wild, and not to mention the cars. You know, mechanically, these cars are going to be used way harder in a shorter duration of time.
Right.
So
they're going to have less time to do any repairs if they have to, or any maintenance or anything like that.
Yeah, so we're going to be having to see how that plays out.
Really quickly, if you guys watched our kickback yesterday, we dropped it a little bit later than usual. Joey spoke about the Indy 500 is also one of those events that's coming back.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot the guy who runs that, the guy who's in charge of it, or founded it, whatever. But he mentioned, he spoke about how, all right, this mask sucks. I'm going to lower this.
All right.
Be safe, Scott.
Well, we haven't really been out of the house in a long time, but
yeah, hopefully we'll be fine. Anyways, he mentioned some of the stuff he's planning to do and whether or not they're trying to decide to open the event. And like, I watched the interview he did on YouTube, and he was actually talking about, like, they're definitely still going on with the event. They're just trying to decide if they're going to
actually let people in. They're trying to figure out the best protocols to actually let the people come in. And
yeah, spectators is going to be a tough thing to navigate through.
Yeah, he was like, they're pretty much just trying to figure out the safest way to get people in, have them safe during the event using social distance practicing, mm-hmm. and then get them out of the event safely, right. Which is pretty much the toughest challenge. But he said even if they get no...
no spectators.
Spectators, yeah.
That the event will still happen.
That the event will still happen, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and when you have some of those larger race series, you know, one of the things that you can really understand is that there's a lot of commitments that they've made to sponsors and to the drivers and teams. But in addition to that, you know, those teams, them running and being able to live stream, televise, whatever it may be, is a big deal. So,
right.
You know, is it ideal? No. Do they lose a lot of money by not having a gate? Yup. But will they exist and make it through till this thing is, you know, eradicated or managed? Yeah, I believe they will.
Yeah.
So that's good on that sense. Let's see. Jumping into
let's get into that. What do you have there, Scott?
By the way, go watch the Kona Kickback. It's up on our YouTube channel, and the reason is because there was a really cool thing, U.S. Drift and MDU.
They have forgot about
a
that.
Great event that they're making the lemonade of lemons. It's the best way I can describe it. They usually have a few shootouts throughout the year, spread out throughout the country. And this year they've decided that what they're going to do is they're going to have – and if you're not familiar with the shootouts, if you're a drifter, the shootout's important because if you really have the skill level – this is a chance where instead of having to compete in a grassroots series that is a feeder series to Formula Drift and, you know, get in the top three or whatever it may be to earn a Pro 2 license.
Right.
You can go to this, you know, 1 or 2 day event and you can essentially drive. And if you win the event at a shootout, you earn a Pro 2 licenses. Some events are 3 licenses, whatever it may be.
This one is 6, right?
So what, MDU,
it's the two events, they're combining them, exactly, and now right. It's going to be 6 licenses available. Yep. What is it, 64? Top 64?
Yeah, so what they're going to basically do is they're going to allow 64 drivers to compete on 1 weekend. I believe it's September. I don't remember. It's going to be in September.
It's in, like, the teens.
Yeah. I think it's, like, maybe September 15th or whatever it may be. But
something like that.
They're going to go, and they're going to – MDU is going to combine with U.S. Drift, and they're going to run this mega shootout here, and this shootout is going to allow people up to 6 pro – I think top 6 places, or they're running 2 fields. I'm not exactly sure. But they're going to give away 6 Pro 2 licenses. So this is a very, very big deal. $750, I believe, is the entry fee to get in. But if you win this event or get in the top 6, I believe, you could be set up for Pro 2 next year. So
that's awesome.
It's a great event, cool event. U.S. Drift is run by Brian Eggert, and Brian is a Formula Drift judge. And he's very considerate and thoughtful to how he organizes the events. He's been doing it for a long time. He's a really good dude, and the MDU dudes are good too. So check out that event. That information is on the Kona Kickback in the description, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
There's also, if you watch it, flyers, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So go check it out. It's worth a few minutes. It's our automotive news recap that we've been doing. Before we get into our topic today.
I guess we'll do a quick little shout out.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Matt, from Canada. You might have seen him. He's commented on a lot of our stuff, but he's a good dude, and it's been fun. Speaking to him and different things. He sends us something. Well, he sends me something, I guess. Me. So he sends this decal to the office, which we got, and it says wheels are metal, not magic, and he put me as the quote, which is pretty funny, I guess. So thank you to Matt, and this is pretty good. Maybe we'll put this up somewhere.
I think he should put it on the back window of his 350Z. I think that would be great. But let us know in the comments down below where Scott should put that. I think right in the back window of the Z would be perfect.
I think maybe it would look better on the front windshield of the Miata. What do you think? So everybody knows where you come from.
Yeah, but your name's there, not mine.
Well, so you're furthering the truth, you know what I mean? So anyhow, so Matt, thanks so much for that. That's pretty funny. We're going to find a good spot for this.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to put it on the wall, but then somebody else will be like, what the heck is this doing here? So, you know, jumping into some of the things we were talking about that we're going to talk about topic-wise today, it was kind of, you know, it's we just talked about some events and starting and stopping and stuff like that. And now, you know, for us, you know, the automotive year is not marked January 1 to December 31st. It's marked SEMA to SEMA, yeah. Right? Always has been. You know, you'll see a lot of companies, they drop and release their products and debut their products at SEMA or around SEMA time. And that kind of goes full circle until you get to the next SEMA, right? So,
right.
So that's kind of what I mean by, you know, the automotive year goes SEMA to SEMA. So if you've looked around by now, you've seen big shows that are international type shows like Automechanica cancel. You've right. seen City Expo, which is a show in China, but it's a large show in Asia, cancel. You've seen pretty much every decent-sized trade show in almost every industry cancel. But the one show that has not canceled and has even doubled down and said, we're going to have a show, is SEMA. So there are a lot of different opinions that I've heard about what this means. Some for it, some against it, some confused, some in the middle. There's a little bit of a limbo-ness to it, and I don't mean from SEMA's end. They're very clear on what they're trying to do and that they're going to do their best to, you know, manage the show efficiently and put in policies and procedures that allow people to be safe going forward. That's what they've said. They haven't released what those details will be, but they've said this, and so I believe that this is going to be a big topic for them to deal with.
Where does the limbo come from? The companies and I guess the attendees of the event, or
SEMA is an international show. I mean, yes, it's, you know, very big for us here in the U.S., but because it's based here, but it is, you know, we get, there's people that come to that show all over the world. So now, with that said, the issue that you run into is, will attendance be down this year? Absolutely. Does that mean that there'll be a big change for the show? Maybe not, because, you know, people that have to go to the show, quality people, when I say quality, but I mean, like, you know, people that have their jobs and what their businesses depend on going to SEMA, they'll still be there.
Right.
If the show happens, they'll still be there. And when I say this, just for people that aren't thinking the way that we think, when I say people that have to be there, there are a lot of buyers for certain companies that they base their decisions and what they buy for different automotive categories or brands that go to the show because they can get so much done walking the show and having meetings and all these different companies in right. one place versus having to fly all over the country for all right. these different meetings, right? So this can be a big show for a lot of people and a lot of companies.
It's a networking hub.
Yeah, right. And we have distribution companies or wholesale companies that rely on a tremendous product line. One buyer can get a lot accomplished in a short period of time
right.
at a show like this.
And so, probably much more cost-effective than flying everywhere.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And there is the touchy-feely thing. You know, even for smaller shops, to be able to go look at a product before you buy it, or if you're going to stock something, to be able to talk to people in person, a lot of times that becomes much easier at a show like SEMA. Now, the limbo-ness goes into – I mean, yeah, it's an international show, so obviously there's going to be people that are down, you know, as far as attendance. Exhibitors are down because, one, you're going to block a lot of people. There's still restrictions in play at this point
right.
for some countries coming into our country, right? So because of that, it's very one of those situations where, you know, how many people aren't going to exhibit because they were an international exhibitor, right? So you lost those people. The limbo exists, and this is not unique to SEMA. This is any single show. There is no real solid template for how to have a real trade show, an actual physical trade show.
Right.
With social distancing rules, regulations. Like, how do you do that? I can't fathom it. I don't know how other people would. You know, if you've been to SEMA or if you've gone to Las Vegas, it's you know,
it's packed.
First time you went was last year.
There's a lot of people. Yeah, last year was my first time, and it was just like, you know, you're shoulder to shoulder with everybody because everybody's walking around trying to see things. The only like real downtime being that we were exhibitors and not like press or anything was we had a little bit of extra time afterwards. Like after everybody got kicked out, we got like an extra hour to get our booth in line and then get out. So that was maybe like the only downtime, but throughout the entire day, even the line just getting in is just like, it wraps outside the event space.
Like, yeah. You know, and for SEMA, like for SEMA exhibitors, you know, we all know you get there before 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
You get there early. You get yourself into the hall before the rush of people start because the show opens at 9 and right about 8 o'clock is that cutoff where people start. The line to get into the show is tremendous. So you get yourself there early so you can get in. You can start getting set up. Do what you have to do. Clean things up.
And 9 o'clock comes and you're already good to go.
And you're already ready, you know, looking good. So everywhere you go, whether it be waiting for food or waiting to speak to somebody in a booth or walking through the halls or walking to the show or the cab line or the bus line.
All of it.
It's everywhere you go. You are shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, you're in a big crowd.
There's no room to walk. You know how many times when you walked from another hall to whatever, that you, like you get to a point where you have to now wait for the people just to keep going in front of you because you're jammed up.
I try cutting around everybody. But, yeah, I do get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough. I mean, even just, you know, the whole purpose of going there is to have meetings and talk with people. Mm-hmm. Like, that in itself is going to be different because, you know, if you got to keep X amount of feet from somebody. Our meeting room was definitely not that big.
And that's not going to change. Because you only have so much square footage in a booth space.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? In that room, for everyone to be 6 feet apart, you could only have like 2-3 people in that room, you know?
Yeah.
Are you checking our audio?
Just making sure the audio is like... We have this chronic thing lately, which is we record a podcast, realize we've had technical difficulties, and then we have to start all over again. So we're
hoping that that doesn't happen, and we're also hoping that we're still recording. Anyways,
I'll be bent before I'm not telling. Yeah, So that's the debate that we're having. You know, obviously, and it's not really a debate. It's just
it's more so just like realizing the facts of it all, and kind of like. Mm-hmm. Trying to see how it's going to go and waiting for them to let us know, like, what type of protocols they're going to do, waiting for them to announce it, and, you know, just see how it all kind of plays out, really.
Right. But so I guess the question, you know, will SEMA happen? And it looks like the answer at this stage is yes. I guess anything could happen. Listen, personally, I have fears, and, you know, people need to understand perspective for us. There are a lot of parts of the country that were not really damaged or exposed to this virus.
But we're in New York.
Right. And we're close to Manhattan, which was clearly a major, you know, I mean, arguably the worst. It's the worst point in the country as far as the number of cases and deaths and the whole thing. And, you know, we're at that point where we all know everybody knows somebody that's had something. You know, I've known a couple people that have passed away. And I think that when you have that type of impact, you're going to be a little bit more sensitive to it, right? So I do acknowledge that I'm going to be more sensitive to it than maybe somebody that was in the middle of a state that didn't have really any influx of cases.
Do you have an idea how it actually was over there?
Where?
In Vegas?
I mean, they had cases, but I don't believe that. I mean, it wasn't anything
as drastic as, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you expect? It's Manhattan. Everybody's literally on top of each other.
Yeah, there's no good way.
It's the tightness of the team event times, like, 100.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't walk down a street. But, you know, it's been interesting in the way life has changed, especially in the city, you know?
Those first few weeks, though, those... The streets were empty. Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, I mean, the streets were empty far more than after three. It was like only until a couple weeks ago that they even picked up a little bit of, you know, I don't know. It's pretty wild. But, so the question is this. You know, all these events going forward and all these things happening, like, how are they going to navigate this? And there's a lot of questions, you know. There's a lot of questions that everybody has. There's really no clear procedures, and everybody's doing their best. And I think that it's an extremely difficult thing because there's no handbook, you know. It's a mix of common sense and overcautiousness, but everybody has a different level of anxiety toward this. Some people don't believe it. They think it's not even real. Some people think it's just like the flu. Some people think it's, you know, this horrible, you know, Ebola-like type of disease. So, you know, everybody has a different feeling on it. And I'm not stressing where my feelings are, and my personal opinions are irrelevant for this conversation. But no matter what your stand is, you have to take a stand, right? Like whether it be SEMA or Formula Drift or the race series, everybody's going to have to position themselves based off of their risk, based off of their beliefs, and then just deal with whatever the consequences are or are not.
Right.
You know, there may be a lot of events that go off without a hitch. They do a good thing. Maybe they don't do a good thing. Don't have any repercussions. No real big deal. No flare-ups, whatever it may be. Everything's great. There could be an event that doesn't do the right thing or does the right thing, does have a flare-up, and there could be a mess.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just really interesting to see what's going to happen. It looks like I said, right now is the time that we're talking. It looks like SEMA will happen, and it looks like they're really doubling down to try to figure everything out. I think it's got to be an incredibly difficult task.
I mean, it definitely has to be difficult. I remember back in April, the auto show was supposed to happen, the New York Auto Show. And
yeah, I mean, there was no way that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, a few weeks beforehand, or maybe even up to a month beforehand in March, I was already getting emails saying that it was going to be happening. Press days and everything were still going to be good. Well, because they moved it to August. Well, no, even before that.
Okay.
So they said it was still going on, but they were going to be taking measures in order to make sure everything is safe. They were installing all of these, like, hand sanitizer booths and, like, all of these other things. And then that almost instantly changed up, I think, maybe, like, a week or so. And then they sent out another email saying, yeah, we're going to move it to August. And then eventually, I think it's just done now. So,
you know, it takes a tremendous – whenever you have an event of that type of status and stature, you know, the event, you know, as a person attending or exhibiting, it always feels like it's a long way out, right? Like, you can say, oh, they were in March and they were scheduled to August. Like, why'd they cancel it? But, you know, it takes an extraordinary effort to make sure that everything comes down to that time period, you know? And it requires a lot of people and a lot of planning and a lot of meetings and a lot of different things. And it also requires a lot of definitive numbers. When you don't know if exhibitors are going to show up, when you don't know if attendance is going to be up, when you don't know if they're still using your facility as a COVID hospital. I mean, you know, you go back to April in March. I mean, people, especially in New York, they were still – it was a for those who don't know, the Javits Center where the New York International Show is was converted to a COVID hospital. The entire thing, we never saw the influx that they thought that they had estimated that the models ran.
Right.
And, you know, some people say it's because it was blown out of proportion. Some people say because New York did a good job, you know, doing the work from home, stay at home, you know, that the socially distanced thing worked.
Right.
Again, we're not here to choose sides or debate that. That's not the point. But for a show like the International Auto Show, when you're sitting in April and it takes X amount of months to do all these coordinations and change all these things, and people are like, how can I give you an answer if I'm going to come? I don't even know if the country's going to melt down or whatever it may be. And so what ends up happening is there's this large limbo that kind of happens. And I think at some point as a show coordinator, you say,
we're probably better off holding off till the following year.
Right.
I mean,
no different than the Olympics. The Olympics did the same thing.
The other tricky part of that, too, is like even with all those safety protocols that the Javits Center went through, and even with all the safety protocols that SEMA is working on implementing right now, is how are you even 100% sure? I mean, I could tell you right now, everyone that shows up, not everybody's going to follow all the safety protocols.
Right.
That's just the way that things are, mm-hmm. Whether it's just because they don't want to or they don't believe it or for whatever reason, I guarantee not everybody's going to do it. You're going to have always
those handful of people. Well, I mean, technically, we're not following protocol right now.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, like, so, you know, I mean, I guess at some point it does come down to slightly calculated risk. I mean, for the most part, like, I haven't been out of my house except for here. Everybody else in this area really is kind of the same way.
Nick's
the same way. Like, he doesn't – I mean, I'm not saying we don't ride in the car. I'm saying, like, we don't go to public places.
We don't do group stuff. Like, we don't go anywhere. There's, like, a lot of other people or, for the most part, any people.
My poor kids haven't left the house since March – I think it was March, like, 16th or something like that.
That's terrible.
They haven't left the house. You know what I mean? Like, so – I don't know. I mean, you know, again, this is not ideal. Obviously, we're not in – this is the only time I think that we're close enough, and we did it purely because it was really difficult with audio. We can't capture – you know, it was tough to arrange this. But you know, we're clearly not spending our day on top of each other. But you're right. You know, I mean, there's no way that everybody's going to follow procedures. And whether you believe it or not or don't believe it or – these are all things that whatever, you know. And the one thing that I want to point out is this could be potentially psychologically different and difficult, because keep in mind that, you know, there's a potential that SEMA could potentially have this weird perfect storm. And I'm sure that I'm not talking about SEMA the organization, I'm talking about SEMA the show. It's the first week of November. Flu season's around during that time. There are going to be people traveling in from other countries, even if they're not coming from countries that are still prohibited to travel from.
Right.
There are people coming from all states and all over. And between the flu and potentially, you know, putting a lot of people into one area and the traveling and all the planes and the airports – besides just the COVID cluster, like, you know, I keep thinking, like, so what if I get the flu right afterwards? Like, am I going to be like, oh, I got the, you know, but I guess it's, you know, I guess it's all the same type of thing. But I don't mean in the symptoms. I just mean, like,
right.
You know, if you get sick, you get sick. You're going to have to get better, right? I don't know. It just feels like a lot.
We're already worried about it. And, like, the event is so far away.
And again, I just want to say, you know, we are obviously more sensitive to it just because of where we're from. And so, listen, again, this wasn't a podcast to agree or disagree or take a political view or take a side on what SEMA is doing. It was just kind of to talk about, you know, what's happening with these shows, what's going on, how is, you know, automotive life
doing,
moving forward, right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and if anything interesting updates soon, we will have that on Conan Kickback, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's any. I mean, I doubt it. This would probably be super inconvenient for a lot of people, but like, automotive events are actually able to just broadcast and have the events go on and not have any spectators come to the events. SEMA is different because the purpose of going there is to network and you know, meet other companies and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So
yeah.
I wonder if there's any type of way they're trying to implement that or if there's – I don't think it's something that – is very much possible. I mean, I would imagine they could do like a virtual thing.
I don't know how you could have a virtual SEMA that's effective. Maybe, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I could think, you know, we're pretty technologically
advanced
or abled, right? And I would say that I can think of a lot of different ways to do a lot of things virtually. I don't know that you can recreate what that show is virtually.
I don't know. I have a few ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying... My turn.
Scott, it's not even nighttime. We're doing this one in the afternoon today.
I got so much light on me now. Right now, I literally see all the spots. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's the truth. I don't know. But what are your thoughts? If you know, do you think shows like this should keep going on? Like Hoorah, Go Automotive. Do you think that, hey, it's too soon? We, you know, people don't know. It's good to have some events, but something like, you know, but a trade show or whatever is just too big to throw. You know, what do you? I'm curious to see out there what people really think. So I guess let me break it down. If you could do this for us, one, how do you feel about smaller and mid-sized automotive shows, race type shows? How do you feel about them doing that with spectators?
Okay.
Two, out of all these, do the same thing for the large show, right? But then, two, do you feel that if these shows happen, that it's the right thing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what should they do? How should they, like, what are some things that you would do if you had this show to make it better, or would you not do anything?
Right.
I don't know. So comment below.
Interesting questions.
Comment below. Let them know.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
I think that's it.
I think that's it. So anyhow, Matt, thanks again for my decal here. That's
oh yeah. Also, let us know where you guys think we should put that. 100%. I say
on the Miata.
On the Z. The Miata doesn't have anything done to it. It doesn't deserve a sticker like that.
I'm not vain enough to put a quote of myself on my car. You ever see the real estate agents?
No one will know that that's you, though, unless.
Do you ever see the real estate agents that put, like, their face on the side of their car? And then, like, you're driving next to them and then, like, look over you and, like, it's, like, on the car and, like, then they're right there in the. that always gets me.
Like that.
Anyhow, so that's it. So make sure this Friday we drop a piece of content, right?
Yes.
So that's going to happen.
I like how you check with me, like yeah, right?
Just want to make sure we're on pace.
Yes, Scott.
So this Friday we're going to have a new piece of content. Make sure you check it out on our YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed if you're not already. Podcasts happen every Wednesday. And in addition to that, we're doing the Kona Kickbacks on Tuesday.
And we go live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. to answer all of your questions.
That's right. 3 p.m. Eastern, Facebook and Instagram. We go live to answer your questions. So get your questions ready. And if you want to talk about this, we could do that. And come join us. Yep. All right. That's it. We are out of here. We will catch you next Wednesday. Take care.